We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
The sound of the final buzzer means it's
what's going on, everybody? As you can see, Brass isn't here tonight, so the production's gonna be kind of fucked up. Doing my best, right? I do have my man Darskin producer Parrish coming in helping me out. So tonight we are doing an LSO sports takeover of Hangover Time. It's still the same show. I just got an all black cast with me. So there'll probably be some expletives flying around that you wouldn't normally hear on Hangover Time. Some extra special words. So I'm gonna bring myself out and introduce you guys to the crew. And we're going to ask what everybody is drinking. So to my left, we got dark-skinned producer Parrish Thompson. Parrish, what you drinking tonight?
I'm keeping it a little simple, man. I got a little Modelo today.
Okay. Because we went hard yesterday on the whiskey.
Y'all think coronavirus is bad. Wait till Modelo fever takes hold, bro.
Boom, boom. Womp, womp, womp.
I had to get that out before people start showing up.
smart move. Tiffany, my right hand, what you out here drinking tonight? Corona. Oh, look at that. Just keep feeding into this coronavirus joke that Parrish so poorly executed.
Cervezas are plenty.
Siobhan. What's going on? Double fisted tonight, or it's Wednesday and you didn't feel like doing it?
No, we still got it. Some Kindle again and some Jack Rye.
I love it, man. Just on a Wednesday, double fisted with the drinks. I mean, it's amazing.
Needed for this game, man. My bad.
No, man. Listen, I don't really. I ain't got a lot to say about this game, man. The Heat lose by 27. To a fully healthy Nuggets team, the Heat were without Goran Dragic, Jimmy Butler, and Tyler Hero. I mean, it's the same old song. Like, we can keep talking about – I keep saying it's a stupid, stupid season, right? Like, the way they handle the COVID protocols, everything. But we can't keep making excuses. I was arguing with Sedano on the timeline the whole night. You know what I mean? And – this is an example of a banner just showed up. I was arguing with Sedano the whole night. Like, Sedano's trying to say that the Heat are making too many excuses. And I'm over here like, listen, it's not about excuses. These are real things. No team has had to deal with the combination of COVID protocols and short offseason the way the Miami Heat have. I don't think anyone's had to deal with it in the same respect that the Miami Heat have done. Like, so you look at the Los Angeles Lakers. Yeah, they had the short offseason, but they haven't had a significant time of LeBron and AD. Like, they haven't dealt with that. So the Heat are dealing with just some extenuating circumstances. And so it's really, really hard to analyze what's going on right now. But we're going to do our best. And then we're probably just going to make jokes for the rest of the time because I don't really know what to say when you got you got big Nun and Struce minutes, Tiff. Like, what what are we supposed to take away from this?
Nothing. I mean, honestly, what are we gonna say? The same thing we've been saying the last like 3 weeks. Yep. This is what it is. We thought Kendrick Nunn had like went back to the old Kendrick Nunn. He's back to the new Kendrick Nunn. This is just what it is. The reality is Kendrick Nunn caught lightning in a bottle last year. That's what I think. I think he got hot and we overvalued who he was.
So you think this is who he is?
I think this is who he is. Yeah, 17 points. But none of those points were effective. None of those points affected the game at all. It really doesn't matter. And everyone was looking for Bam to take over the game, lead in assists, lead in defense, get the rebounds, block the shots. He looks helpless out there surrounded by four unmoving objects. They weren't moving. They weren't swarming on defense. There was just no help. So what did we think was going to happen? This is who they are. Maybe it'll change when Jimmy gets back, but that's too much pressure to put on somebody with a bad ankle, bad knees, and coming off of COVID. What do we expect is going to happen? A 10-game streak? Probably not.
I mean, Siobhan, I do see a winning streak coming for this team. They're going to get Butler back supposedly this week, maybe early next week. They have a homestand against really bad teams.
Is he okay? Where's Jimmy been? I know the COVID.
He's on the sideline.
He's on the sideline. You didn't see him?
He looks skinny.
Where's he? Why? Did he have COVID? They just didn't announce it to nobody? Like, what happened?
That's what we think.
But like, Siobhan, with Jimmy coming back, is that change? Does that move? I mean, it's going to move the needle. But then does that change? Do you think it? I guess the question is, it's hard. Like I'm almost at a loss right now. Like, does that change if they go on a 10-game win streak and they find themselves fifth or sixth in the East? Does that change the dynamics of the season, or are we still just talking about this season is just got a big asterisk next to it?
So a lot of things are true all at one time. This is not the ideal look at this team that this isn't the ideal season that we want, but it is what it is. Like it's what we have. And so at some point we do have to be objective and go ahead and start talking about it. Like, what else are we going to talk about? We can't keep, you know, we understand that it would be different if, you know, these injuries that injuries kind of didn't occur. But again, when Jimmy comes back, okay, we go on a nice little few game run here. I don't think I don't think that's solving all the issues. I think the issues still are what they are because we're going to be in the same position that we were, relying on a Jimmy to do everything that we are going to rely on him to do coming off of COVID. We're putting an incredible amount of pressure on Bam, and it's almost unfair because he is so good and to whom much is given, you know, much is expected, but at some point, like, a much, you know, can become a too much. And so I think again, the issues are what they are. And we don't see, you know, you mentioned the Lakers again, not having dealt with, you know, the combination of the things that we're dealing with currently at this moment. But I look again at their offseason and the moves that they made and the movement and what their reinforcements are versus what ours are. The fact
Struce
that
and Silva.
And the fact that we're playing them as, you know, we're throwing them right into the vanguard. Like, they are our first line of defense because we don't have anything else to put them behind. And so, yeah, it's unfortunate. And I think a little bit of what Sedano was saying is true. Like, it's okay. Yes, all of these things are things, but they also are underperforming. The people that are playing are underperforming, and it's okay to call that out. But you have to be like objective and honest and nimble enough to recognize that a lot of things are happening all at the same time, and it's okay.
I just want to add, my bad.
Go ahead, man.
I think Bam is ready to lead a team yet, because I think that's just his biggest problem. He's not really to like really carry a team.
Like, I don't think that's his game to carry a team.
And it's okay that he's not ready, because honestly, the team isn't built for him to be ready.
Right.
The problem is the team is built for Jimmy to lead, but Jimmy's not here.
Yeah, and it's built for Jimmy to miss a game or game or two here or there.
And
to Siobhan's point, can we talk about, is it fair to talk about the construction of this team?
Yes.
In a COVID stained season, having Udonis Haslem on the roster, paying Myers Leonard, for being a great cheerleader last year. We look at Kelly Olynyk tonight, 9 points all in the second half when the game was already out of reach. The man couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. You're heavily reliant on a Duncan Robinson, who's heavily reliant on people that can penetrate and disrupt the defense, and you don't have those guys. So were the Heat, did they not have enough foresight looking into the season? Or are they just such a victim of circumstances? Is it a mixture of both?
It's a mixture of those two things and having put in so many eggs into Giannis's basket.
Right. Like, Alf, you and I had that Giannis conversation. What did I say to you in private? I said, am I the only one who thinks Giannis is the bad fit? Go after somebody else?
No, you weren't.
I always
whale hunting, though. He always. Hmm? Pat Riley always going after the big
fish. I mean, but that's okay. But my point was, I didn't think he was the whale for the team.
Yeah, you got to go after the whale that makes sense.
He's the whale, but he's not the whale for this team.
Right. Now you're wasting supplies.
I mean, shit.
Well, I mean, I still think the answers are out there.
Yeah.
But I wonder, people are saying running it back was a mistake. I think a lot of us were saying it this summer when they were talking about they were still going to play in arenas. They were getting rid of the bubble. They were still going to travel. Like, we saw what was going to happen when they played the Wizards. Like, there's just a domino effect that's going to happen. Do you worry about the season and build up reinforcements? Or you just say, let us run our guys out there and see what we have in KZ Akpala. See if Kendrick Nunn is really an NBA player. Is Max Strus somebody that we can count on? I don't know what happened to Chris Silva. Is that the smarter play, or was it the smart play to do what the Lakers did and load up for a season like this?
It's a touchy situation because, like, yet again, the whole Giannis rears its ugly head. The run it back was to run it back with the chance of getting Giannis. I don't think the run it back was the run it back because I got so much faith in Kendrick Nunn. I don't think that was the play.
Yeah.
I think we're going to try to get Giannis. Then a bird came through the window and Bam was like, he ain't coming. Give me my money.
Exactly. Then now it's like, you got a lot of, you had a lot of cap space, but now you don't have max cap space.
Right.
And so now you're looking at trades, and now we're all looking at Lonzo Ball. We're looking at Bradley Beal on the bench trying to read into his body language. Victor Oladipo has been trying to get here for 2 years, and for some reason they can't pull the trigger. Is there a case here that I'll ask you, Parrish, did the Heat put too much stock in their own young guys going in this offseason, or were they right to just trust their own process and just try to build on what they did last year?
I mean, I think it's smart. I think it was right to build on what they built last year, but I just think they, like Tiff was saying, they put too many eggs in just trying to get Giannis. There was other pieces and other things, like, Giannis and James Harden when he, made his announcement. But there's other pieces they could have made, or other moves they could have made to try to get other pieces to really fill out the roster and just make a more complete team. And Chris just showed up, so I know he's got something to say.
Go.
about the young players, about keeping them young boys on the team.
So
I think they should have. I think they could have moved They should have made some more moves to try and fill out the team better, and that's where they made a mistake and running it back.
And honestly, I've always been, and Chris, we'll go to you next. I've always been a huge fan of UD. I've never been one of these people like, oh my God, he's taking up the 15th roster spot. You know, no disrespect to, you know, Siobhan's homeboy, but like, okay, we lost Briante Weber because we kept UD. It's not, you know, it's not the end of the world. But in a COVID season, I'm sorry, Siobhan.
Straight. My
bad. Just catch it straight. I love, honestly, Briante Weber. I was a Briante stan. I just loved the way he competed on defense. But in non-COVID seasons, that 15th roster spot wasn't no big deal. This season, it's a big deal. Like, you need every spot, and to have so many of these spots taken up by Chris Silva's, Udonis Haslam's, Myers Leonard, Max Strus, you know, guys who literally shouldn't, you know, who can't play.
You don't need four cheerleaders on the
No. We got the highest paid cheerleader on our team.
You know what I'm saying?
Because you literally skipped Myers and went right to UD.
I've said Myers a couple times. Yeah, listen, and that I like Myers Leonard. I've had a lot of conversations with him. I enjoy him, but like honestly, he's like a dinosaur in today's NBA. And the fact he can shoot the three, but he can't move. And I think there was an injury last year that he's never gotten over. Because remember, they were a good team with Myers Leonard and Kendrick Nunn in the starting lineup. They were one of the best offenses in the league. That was one of the best five-man lineups in the league offensively. And then I just think there was an injury. They didn't talk about it a lot. And, you know, we're just seeing it's when big men start getting injured, you start seeing what happens. And he's just slow-footed. He can't move quickly. That's why we were happy a little bit about the Kelly Olynyk coming in to the starting lineup. But you're relying on him too much.
Right. They're relying on everybody right now. Yeah. Relying on everyone too much.
But in a good way, it's good that they're relying on everybody. Because – you don't want to hear no sob stories when news at 11, you out of here.
Bro, listen, when they
get into the locker room and see a big ass trash bag with their name on it.
Well, I want to talk to Heat Twitter about KZ Akpala. Like, can y'all stop with the KZ Akpala standing?
Right.
Like, he's a promising young player, but like, come on, man. Like, let's stop. Like, let's all chill out a little bit. We're screaming at Spo like we're losing games because you're not playing KZ Akpala. He played 23 minutes today, and I think how much did he even score?
I don't know. And he lost on team defense yet again.
Yeah, he didn't. Like,
he can't. I don't know if my man can't read a playbook or what, but he can't play team defense at all.
He's turning his baseline, or he's turning his back to the baseline like a lot. Like, it's yeah.
But that's the whole Heat team. If you notice, none of them know how to use the baseline as a second defender.
As a defender.
None of them. None of them. They don't know how to put that fucking foot on the line.
Take
the
charge or draw them out. No.
That's like junior high.
I know y'all at home screaming at the TV. I know. Listen, y'all at home screaming.
I've been here going nuts.
Yes.
That was
because these are simple techniques.
Right there.
Put your foot on the line. Get one hand up, one hand down. We're
screaming, like, don't open up the right way. We're not taking up space. Like, and like, it's a lot of stuff that's just things that need a lot of tightening.
Well, I think, you know, and Chris, can you hear us?
Yeah, I got you. Can y'all hear me though?
Man, you black as fuck coming in this late.
Hey,
we 17 minutes in. We 17 minutes in, and you got a shoddy internet connection.
Hey, not the internet, bro. Just I was on my iPad Pro trying to be extra with it, and that shit ain't work. But I hear y'all talking about though, and this is something that when I was watching after that, I know we all know what the situation is. We all know that there's a lack of talent on the roster. But Alpha, I've been telling you, and I'm just going to bring it up just to be contrary, when Duncan Robinson is not hitting threes, he is one of the worst players on a court. Kendrick Nunn has far more depth to his
damn, order. I was right there with you.
Yeah, you
have more depth.
I got the call. Duncan Robinson.
Now, y'all were talking about simple techniques. This is what I was screaming at in this game. Duncan Robinson, we all know he's a three-point threat. They overplaying the man crazy. He went backdoor for the first time at the end of the third quarter and then never did it again for the rest of the game. He has nothing else to offer on the court in his own mind unless he's shooting. Like, everybody who's ever played basketball knows if you're getting overplayed the whole game, you got to go backdoor, son, at some point. That's what made us love him when we started the season last year, because his first game, we didn't even know he was this lethal. He was the guy who was cutting, who was moving. Now, all he wants to do is get a dribble handoff, come off a down screen, catch one, and let it go. You got to give us more than that, especially when you see, when we're having this whole conversation about there not being talent. Kendrick Nunn, and you saw it tonight, me and Alf have this argument all the time, has way more depth to his game than catch-and-shoot assassin Duncan Robinson. And that's your hot take for tonight.
Yeah, and it's a terrible take. I'm sorry. No, it isn't. For the most part, it's actually there is something to be said for the fact that Duncan has been disappointing, because it's not like he's missing shots because Jimmy's not there or Goran's not there or Tyler's not there. He's missing wide open shots that he normally makes. And without those other guys, this team is far too dependent on a guy like Duncan. And to Chris's point, you start wondering, like, is it worth, you know, and we start talking about contracts, we start moving forward, is Duncan worth the bag that he might get as one of the top two or three three-point shooters in the league right now?
If you've got other guys on your team, he's fantastic. As a third guy, possibly blow up and be your number two, even if you're number one guy on any given night, he's fantastic.
They ain't having him on this team.
No.
Who's on this team? He can't be the third guy.
He needs to be the fourth, fifth guy.
Yeah, exactly. And that means he can't get the bag.
Dang. But I was watching Philly play tonight as well, and I'm like, if you slid him on that team, Steph Curry, little brother Seth Curry, what, he averaging like 16 before he got hurt, they were talking about? He's about to get double his bag up playing next to two superstars. Imagine if that was Duncan Robinson slid in that spot. Like,
well, that was him last year.
True.
But the thing I worry about with paying Duncan, are there other guys like a Seth Curry out there that you can get to replicate Duncan's role?
Yes.
For a lot less money.
Yes. Until you said that, I hadn't even thought about that. Like, because Seth Curry is moving from team to team. He's been gradually climbing in the league. And everywhere he goes, it's kind of like a throwaway deal until he gets on the court a little bit. And people are like, oh, damn, he could play. Then he raises his trade value, and then they send him somewhere else. And then it's like, all right, let's see what he do here. And now he's playing again. Like, I wouldn't mind if somehow they could finagle a Seth Curry for, you know, some collection of throwaway pieces, you know what I mean? Like, that would be dope.
I mean, they
got a whole team of throwaway tradable pieces.
you got a lot of expiring contracts and tradable pieces.
I was disappointed in your boy Max Stress a little bit.
Why?
I was kind of hoping, you know what I'm saying?
What were you expecting?
What you thought he was going to do?
Like, Mo Harkless, huh? You was hoping?
Same deal. I was hoping that, you know, I'm always, because I'm a romantic at heart when it comes to sports. So I'm always rooting for the guy who's like, oh my gosh, here's my shot. Everybody's hurt. It's me. They calling on me. They calling my name. I come out. I try to wham on a nigga. Bam. And I bust my back. You know.
Yo, he got real excited. He got real excited with that dunk
attempt. Tried it, son. I was like, wow, you went up on this man with the one hand, like.
But like, he only launched at like the last second though. Like, he wasn't sure until he got.
He thought he was back in Lithuania or some shit. That shit don't fly over here.
Yeah. I'm always rooting for a guy like that, though. Like, you know, get out here. Ain't nobody here. Like I was telling y'all last time we talked. You on this situation, man, shoot everything. Like, I know. Spoelstra didn't want you to run off.
That might have been the problem tonight. They were shooting
everything.
There's no in-between.
And then there's not even creative looks at getting into
nothing.
We're going to force feed the three. Do it creatively. Do it differently. Do it with, like, I don't know, make it look sexy or sexier. Like we're doing the same types of things. And
they are, there's nothing at the basket.
There's nothing at the basket.
Nothing.
I mean, but you also, you're three guys that can get to the basket and create.
Right.
We're all out. So,
and every time we get to the basket, like you said, we kick the shit
kicking
out.
Kicking it out. Or doing some stupid
bro,
shit like this.
Kendrick be trying to sky hook passes in the lane.
I almost sent out that the basket. Wow. I thought Kendrick was going to light him up.
I also, and Avery Bradley, what? I don't know.
Terrible.
Does COVID give you sweaty hands? Because I don't know what was happening to him.
I'm not participating in the slander of Avery Bradley. But what we can do is throw some more Irie at Duncan.
Yeah. Speaking of slander, I don't know if none of you guys were on the show on Friday, but Chris and I caught tremendous slander for these pictures of the LSO podcast. Because they was talking about how shirts don't fit right.
I was on there.
Tim, remember how they were saying Chris? I think I was saying Chris was buttons was screaming for dear
Chris. Chris,
he said you've been wearing that shirt for the last 12 years.
I did not say that.
But I'll tell y'all what. From the front, that shirt and the fit of that shirt from the front is amazing. I'm telling you.
I
thought he was hating that night.
I can see your wife beater through the front of that shirt. That's not good. The buttons was just screaming.
At least my shirt has some shape to it.
My collar's sagging. Like I'm not.
No, that whole shirt is tired.
Yeah,
my shirt is weary, man.
My collar looking like the 2021 Miami Heat.
Your shirt is downtrodden, disheveled.
I look like I just rolled in off the street. So
look at Paris. Paris is like, no, these motherfuckers.
I know they didn't come up on live teeth looking like.
I knew they was gonna get roasted on.
But so
his legs crossed under the desk.
And my jeans look so, both our pants look tight as fuck. I don't know what was going on. So we fixed the angle, a lot less man thigh on this next episode. I feel like this was a lot better. Chris's buttons look like, you know, they're not as stressed.
But I'm telling you, that's the thing. That's the same size shirt. Those shirts are not the same business. That's the same company. That's the same cut, just a different print.
But since we were playing the Nuggets, I asked myself, would we look as bad if Parrish wasn't so fucking skinny in the middle like that?
Probably not.
So I said, what if we put another big light-skinned dude in the show? I feel like... I'm looking, I think Parrish is the one making us look bad.
Oh my goodness.
But then I look at that shirt and I'm like, nah, it ain't Paris.
It feels very dough Oreo. Like, what's that?
Just glazed.
Why do you have a picture with me crooning into the microphone? Of all the screen grabs, why did you grab this one?
Listen, I did.
It looked like I'm about to sing Nat King Cole.
You do like you breathing through your mouth in that picture. Like,
bro, I look so winded. Like I ran.
You know
what
it is. You know why that shirt looks so tired? It's because you always have a slight dampness to you. You know, so that shirt is like it's a little. By the time we were done, it's a little hot in the studio. It tastes, you know, it was just slightly damp, so it lost a little bit of its rigidity.
Man, that fan be running during the show, and I'm not sure if it's enough.
And it don't be running enough sometimes.
And we out here drinking brown liquor in a garage.
That's the problem.
Just black.
You don't got to tell them it's a garage. I've been trying to keep it very ambiguous that it's a garage. I've been saying Parrish, I've been trying to clout you up. I've been saying in my dog Parrish's studio. I don't stay in the garage. You know what I'm saying?
Elvis has a garage with a green screen.
It might be a garage, but when we're in it, it's a studio.
I feel like we wouldn't even brought that last show up. I don't know why Alf bringing that back up, bro. That's old stuff.
Alf loved to try and crack on me, cuz.
I'm beating on myself, too. That's we over here talking about dark liquor like it ain't pre-diabetes. That's the fucking problem.
Ever since he found out I was telling people about the beef patty story, he's been trying to get me first ever since then.
Someone said we built like urinals, Chris. Damn.
It's rough. It's
fucked up. The chat go in sometimes. Like, damn. Alf looked like simply breathing made him out of breath. That's terrible.
They don't know how close to true that is, though.
I be tired, bro. I be tired. Watch a lot of live streams. Got to walk from the car to Paris's garage.
It's hot now. Gross.
It's hot here or something. All right. I guess we're going to get back to the game. I mean, we ragged on Duncan. Are we talking enough about Kelly disappearing?
No, he disappeared.
You did.
We don't need to talk about
for
it.
For the last, like, 2 weeks.
What did I say? Yeah. Two good games, seven bad games.
Yeah. But I get, what are y'all expecting from Kelly Olynyk, man? Y'all, like, what y'all?
To hit an open shot, my nigga. Like, come on.
I feel like any of our guys can get hot on any given night. But
and that's the problem.
The four, right. Two nights in a row is, you know, you asking a lot.
That's the problem. We don't have any consistency with like maintaining any type of consistent scoring output.
None.
I think we have a lot of guys who really don't have enough different aspects to their game. Kelly wants to be a dribble drive kind of forward sometimes, and it's always awkward. You know, he'll hit an open shot here or there, but I wouldn't want the ball in his hands like at all. Avery Bradley is supposed to be a guy, maybe not who can consistently get his own shot, but a guy who could, you know, come through and do a little bit. But, you know, he's whack. So you got a lot of whack people on the team. I don't know why Jimmy Butler is out so long. Can anybody got any news on that? Did he have COVID? Is he
part of a trial
of vaccines or something? Like, what is going on?
No, we think he did.
We think he did, and also he just took the extra time to rehab that ankle. But I wanted to talk about this because I saw some people going in on the Bam Precious lineups. Right, said the spacing was terrible, the this or that. Can we just because I am a fan of trying it, right?
Yeah, you got to try it to
you
see if it works.
Try it.
I mean, but they did good. It. They did it, but it was like Nunn, Strus, and Vincent on the floor with them.
Right, right.
And people are complaining like it didn't work. Bitch, what do you expect? It's Nunn, Strus, and Vincent. Like, what did you want to happen? Is anybody here still in on the Bam and Precious lineup?
I am.
I'd say try it again when we at full strength.
Weren't they in the lineup when we made that little run at the end of the third quarter? I know. Iggy was in.
They play Kelly and Precious a lot. He doesn't play Bam and Precious too much.
They did at one point. They had Bam and Precious on the floor together, and it did look bad. But like I said, I believe.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Come on, you gotta try it again.
But a lot more aggressive on his one dribble pull up game. I think there's a way you can do it. But you're going to have to isolate Bam on one side of the court almost by himself. Space to work that little mid-range area. And you just got to run everybody like on weak side cuts or something. There's a way that you can do it. I think you kind of almost, I think you kind of need to do it right now. I feel you, Tiff, in terms of like when everybody's back, then, you know, you can kind of move like a machine. But
What did I say, Saban?
Their defense is ridiculously terrible. You need something. You need something like to put some energy on the court. It's like, hey, look, you know, we got this thing we trying. Like when they first used to drop the zone on people, all the energy that used to come with that, because it was like, oh, here go our new weapon. You feel me? Like, you got to find something like that, like fake it. You know what I mean? Generate some type of fake energy with all this boo-boo on the roster.
Listen, I was telling Saban in the chat, fuck it. Clear out the whole side, give the ball to Bam, and let him work one-on-one. That second defender came every time tonight.
And he's making the proper
plays.
He's making the proper plays. Mm-hmm. And you at least got to give Precious and Bam minutes with someone that commands some gravity. Someone that commands some gravity. Let them run some with Duncan. Let at least see what that shift in defenses look like. You put them out there with three completely incompetent shooters. You cannot expect it to look anything different than what it looked like. But that is not to their fault.
They're just boo-boo. It's not.
They're just boo-boo should be the name of the show. They're just boo-boo. I mean, so I saw a lot of people talking about that. And now there's another thing that's going around. And I guess, you know, we're at the point, I don't know what more we can talk about this game. But we saw a tweet from Shams. And I want to ask you guys about this because I found it interesting. I'm not the big transaction guy. I kind of rather talk about the team and the team that's on the floor night in, night out. But to be honest, this team is fucking terrible right now. So Lonzo Ball could be available. Is that a name that interests you? And I'll start with Parrish. Like, does that interest you at all?
I mean, not really. Not because I don't think he could help us. I just don't think it's a big enough move. Him alone is not gonna. He's not boosting us up.
Well, let the caveat be this. Let it be that the trade is, you know, they get rid of Lonzo. They give us Lonzo and JJ Redick. Get rid of that bad JJ Redick contract. We send them back Kelly Olynyk, which is an expiring, Kendrick Nunn, and like a second round pick, or you know, some other salary cap filler. Is that worth it? Is that a trade that you think moves the needle, Chris?
I think it's a lateral move. Lonzo hasn't shown. If you make a move for a guy like Lonzo, you're hoping that every now and then he can turn up. Like if you bring a guy who's a non-shooter,
our starting point guard, he would need to take over and be our starting point guard.
Well, but are you making a trade for a guy who's going to come off the bench and be like a great bench facilitator? You know what I mean? Like he can't shoot. He's not a scorer. He has something like his like overall total shooting percentage. You know that little stat is like under like 30%. I'm like, dang, cuz like free throws, layups, field goals, regular field goals, 3-point shots. Like you're not hitting anything.
He's a facilitator. Like, he's not a scorer like you say, man.
But the caveat was the trade pieces. If this is the only move you're making, right? Let's say if you're saying this is the only move we make out, but this is who we're giving up to get JJ and Lonzo, and this is all we can do, I'm doing it.
Yeah.
Because here's the deal. You still got Jimmy, if he ever gets right. You still got Tyler. And then you hope you have what was gone in the bubble, because then guess what? If you got Lonzo and you got a healthy Tyler, you're cutting down Gorn's minutes.
Yep.
Like, that's to me,
significant.
This is where you're getting the extra player, because now Gorn is healthy and you can look at that and say, oh, that's 15 to 20 easy. But you also forget the most important thing, that we don't have enough starting lineup. We don't have a guard that can play defense.
Right.
Right.
So if this is your only move, I'm not looking at Lonzo to give us 20 a night. I don't give a damn. He can give me 9, 10, and 7.
Yeah.
That would be
the stat.
That was going to be my question to you. Like, if you do that, what do you expect Lonzo to bring? But if Lonzo could bring you like a JV triple double, like one of those little type of stats, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'd be that plus some semblance of what we had last year. And I think you got a nice little.
That's right, Carlos.
Well, what I'll say is this. Actually, Siobhan, let me let you go first on the Lonzo thing.
So I almost agree that it may be a lateral move, only because of the pieces that will be required to get Lonzo and JJ. And I'm thinking again, while the size that we will be giving up hasn't been producing for us, it still does something to your size. But then I do think about what Lonzo does for you specifically. He fills a need, a very specific need. Well, we don't need him to come give us, you know, 22 points a game. I don't think Lonzo's a scrub. I think you think Lonzo's a scrub if you're not looking at the right stuff. Like,
if you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
Lonzo is a good table setter. Lonzo allows Tyler, a healthy Tyler, to slide more naturally into the position of being a scorer and not have to worry about reading pick and rolls and doing all of those types of things. And he's a defender. Lonzo's one of the like toughest, like on ball PG defenders that's going right now. So
yeah.
And if that is the only move that you can make, and if we are all in agreement or in agreement that a move should be made, then do it.
Look, no one's perfect. Even the best baseball player strikes out when the bases are loaded. The best golfer sometimes three-putt with the tournament on the line. So if you feel like you're coming up short in the bedroom, it's perfectly okay. But if it's bothering you, there are options. Go get to roman.com/heatbeat21 now. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your own home. A U.S. licensed healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, it ships to you for free with two-day shipping. And the whole process is discreet and straightforward. Getting started is simple. Go get to roman.com/heatbeat21 and complete an online visit. Take care of your ED without leaving home. Complete the online visit today to connect with a doctor and take care of it. Go get to roman.com/heatbeat21 to get $15 off your first month. Look, that's a straightforward way to take care of your ED. Get to roman.com/heatbeat21. Go get started to save $15 on your first month of treatment.
I mean, so this is my take on it. He fills a lot of the gaps that we talk about with this team. Point of attack defense that they have not solved since last year. They can't stop other point guards. They can't stop dribble penetration to save their life. Avery Bradley helps. But Avery Bradley's not giving you 35, 36 minutes. He gets Hero off ball, but he might actually send Hero to the bench, which is not the worst thing in the world.
Not a bad thing.
Hero plays so well with Goron.
Yes.
So what he actually would do would – now, the shooting is a problem. But what he would actually do is give you a lineup that would allow you to play a Duncan and a Hero at times together. Because you could have guys like you, if you have Lonzo, Bam, and Jimmy on the floor at the same time, that is a really good defensive lineup. And Lonzo can play up. He can guard threes. Yeah. Right now, we don't have a guard on the team, except for Avery, to an extent that can guard up. You know, you're just hoping that they can contain what little bit they can right now. You know, you're giving Gabe Vincent a lot of minutes right now because you don't have guards and you're overplaying Goron, which is probably why he's out injured right now. So to me, what Lonzo does is give you a legitimate NBA starting point guard who can guard the point of attack, who can facilitate, and who can let guys play their roles a little bit better than what we're doing right now. Because I do like Bam facilitating. I like Jimmy facilitating, but I don't like that to be the first option, right? Like this whole idea that when Jimmy and Bam are healthy, that they're your point guards, to me, is not a long-term solution. Like, that's why we had to start Goron in the playoffs last year, because that is not the way, you know. I know this positionless thing that Spo loves, But you still need a guy to set the table for your offense. And that is, and I feel like Lonzo fills that role a little bit.
I hear you. I'm not a big fan.
He's not consistent. Like that consistency thing.
I'm not a big fan of Lonzo or.
He's not consistent in what, though? What isn't he consistent in?
I mean, well, scoring, but we talked about we don't need him to score, but he's not.
Nobody's consistent on this team. So we can throw, that's like apples and that's what it is.
I'm just saying we were talking about lateral move. I'm just saying we were like, he's a better defender than I agree with most of everything we talked about. I was just bringing the point that he's not the most consistent of players, and that's one of the complaints we have with the guys we have on our squad already.
Because they're supposed to be scored.
If it's that's a lateral offensive move, but a plus defensive move.
Right.
I don't even know if it's a lateral offensive move, just for the simple fact that he won't shoot as much as Nunn and Vincent.
I don't think that it is either.
That might help.
Yeah.
That's more shots for somebody else.
For Mo Harkless.
I mean, no, what Nunn put up 17 today? Tonight?
Yeah, money.
But it doesn't matter if it doesn't affect the game. Like, you could score 20, but if those 20 points don't come when you need them, it doesn't matter. Like, his points went unnoticed.
They really – and
well, I mean, we got blown out. Everybody's points went unnoticed. A couple of runs. That's a good question. We lost by 90, 109 to
27 points.
We got blown out. Like, it don't – all our points went unnoticed.
But there's a difference, though. When you score 17 points, it should be noticeable, whether it's a blowout or not, because that should have said, considering how he's been playing, oh, he played well, 17 points.
But when you look at the league score, man, we were like, that's – you know what I mean? Like, it was a bad game. Like, we played like trash. I'm not defending anyone on our squad, but I'm just saying that it was a bad game all around.
But there's a difference. Go ahead, Savon.
There's a difference in – there's a difference. Like, yeah, 17 points should feel like some momentum is swelling. Like, okay, we might can bounce. And there was a very small stretch of time. I don't remember where it was, but I think it was in the second half. I think he hit like two back-to-back threes. And it felt like, okay, maybe something could have started to happen. But then he did something. He didn't play any defense. Right. And then, like, the score jumped right back where it was. And I think that's, I don't know, like, that's indicative of a lot. And it's not just him. It's not just his fault.
Right. But you can't – here's the problem. You can't score 17 and give up 20.
On 16 shots.
Yeah, someone had Smith and Schmolnick. I hate saying their name because I feel like I'm taking shots at my former boss. Nunn had 17 points on 16 shots. That's bad, and it is. And, I mean, I don't know how many turnovers did he have tonight. He only had two turnovers. The team actually – I mean, they had 16 turnovers, which is good for this team.
Good for them.
I mean, and like, listen, and we're not giving Bam a pass tonight because Bam was bad. I mean, he wasn't good tonight.
No, he was bad.
But I mean, how many, Bam has.
We lost you, brother.
Yeah.
You were trying to defend Bam, bro. And I'm just saying, no, the Cosmos didn't want you defending Bam tonight, man. The whole team was bad. We just had a bad game. We can shit on whoever we want to shit. We can pick anybody on the roster tonight and shit on them. So,
Pick somebody.
Mo Harkless. Actually, we can't shit on Mo Harkless tonight.
He wasn't there.
Exactly. We can't shit on Mo tonight.
Hey, Bam was bad because I heard y'all say that part. Bam was bad tonight, but he was bad in a good way. He was bad because he was jab stepping and one dribble pull up, and he was working on his game tonight. You know, like, that's what I was saying earlier. I'm like, so I'll take that. I mean, I guess that sounds like one of these moral victory statements, but I saw Bam working on his stuff, and he's going to need to work on that. And, I mean, you're playing this team. You're surrounded by a bunch of G League dudes, you know.
Ultimately,
ultimately,
though, aren't we going to have to, if we're going to pay Bam, like, I mean, we've already kind of paid him, but isn't he going to have to put the team on his shoulders? Like, don't we need him to, maybe not all season, but aren't we going to need him in points where Jimmy's out and Goron's hurt or whatever?
I mean, he's done it, though.
But, I mean, what's our record again? Like, have we had three winning games in a row this season?
No, our best is two games in a row.
I think there's different levels of, like, all right, yeah, Bam got the max. Everybody, it is what it is. No take backs. He got the max. That's what it is. No take backs. But, like, Yo, people get the max for different reasons. That's just exactly what it is. Bam didn't get the max to like lead the team today.
But we need, but in that,
but it doesn't matter what we need. It's not there
as,
yet.
As a team, doesn't matter. Doesn't that mean we need?
But if he's not
it's
there,
not
if
there. What are you gonna do?
In that bad, Pat Riley's bad then? Because we gave name? Whiteside. We gave Whiteside a big ass contract to be the dude, and he ain't turned out very well.
Why are we speaking that name?
We talking about big men that didn't carry the team on their shoulders when we needed to carry them on their shoulders. Look back at White? Are we gonna look back at Bam and be like, damn, you didn't do it? We gave you the max, but you ain't like, is he
Gian? Get him out. I think so.
Right, let's talk about other max guys then that we expect to. That's not.
we about to hit you with the Solana. Here's the thing: you're expecting Bam Adebayo to be your best defender, and that's one of the things. Like we talk about max contracts, and we only talk about offense. Exactly. We need to stop. Like he's your guy on a night in, night out basis. You're asking him to guard the other team's best player for the most part.
Let me just say one play. I think I had put it to Saban in the chat. He ended up on the switch on Jamal Murray at the top of the key. Jamal Murray went in his bag, dribble, 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 behind the back, dribble, dribble, side dribble, side step, dribble, dribble, dribble. Bam stayed right in front of him, hands out, feet moving. He gave the ball up to the corner. Bam did his job. You know what happened? Somebody was underneath wide open for a layup.
Yeah.
He did his job. His job was to stop Jamal Murray. And he
stopped. That type of stuff
him.
Happens all the time. We get broken down from the top of the horn. We force him to have to rotate. He does and contains. We get him to force someone to throw up some bullshit and we don't have any size underneath. We don't have people like paying attention. We do so much ball watching. KZ ball watches the fuck out of the ball and it bothers me so much. Avery did a lot. Like, we'll watch the rebound flow in our vicinity. And
that's true.
But they don't know how to box out.
Is Kelly the king of the fake hard attempt when it's too late?
Yes. Yeah. And then he falls back.
Like, the layup is in and Kelly's,
He spends more time on the ground after doing nothing than anyone I've ever seen.
He's like a Canadian.
Kelly Olynyk is always on the ground, but it's not really like for loose balls or nothing like that. You know, he just ends up on the floor somehow.
I mean, that dude is a legit 7-footer, and I mean, he plays. And Chris says it all the time. He wants to be Tyler Hero. He don't want to be a center. You know what I'm saying?
Like. No.
I've never seen a center get beat for offensive rebounds as much as Kelly does by 6'4 guys. Like, and Ace says it in the chat. One of the things that happens to Bam right now, he can't even get rebounds because he's helping so much.
Yeah. That's what I said, right? He's out covering people in the corner, covering people in like that deep, like, and so he's out of position. He's out of position to rebound. And yeah, Kelly's getting out rebounded by athletic, scrappy, like people, you know, guards and players that can move.
Coach Rothstein at halftime, he was doing his little diagram on a play thing. And he diagrammed a play where, you know, he's showing the defense. We caught him scramble a little bit. The guy catches, you know, straight line drive. There's Kendrick Nunn and there's Duncan Robinson. You know, Kendrick Nunn makes an attempt, Buddy lays it up. But then Duncan Robinson is just like, standing there and he's just like watching it all happen. And I'm like, you've been playing the game long enough at this level. You went through all of the struggles in the bubble. You know, we're struggling as a team. I would like to see more effort from everybody on the defense.
Yeah.
Like effort will, even if we don't have like the talent, like to stay in front of guys, which we clearly don't. I mean, that back end of that defense, the weak side help, all of that can be better. Like, there's ways that you can coach decent defense out of Boo Boo guys. You know what I mean? Like, you got to help them. And I don't know where our help defense is, like, ever. Everybody looks confused sometimes. If somebody gets blown by, it's like everybody just watches it happen. I mean, there are some things that we can do, you know, outside of, like, trades and stuff that I'm surprised haven't happened yet because they're, like, heat calling cards. Like in the bubble, the defense in the bubble was amazing. And I know we don't have all of those same guys there, but it's like, can we get something like that every now and then? Can we pop it up? You know what I mean? Like once a week, twice a week.
You saw them do it in the third quarter. They can go on these little runs, but they can't sustain it because quite literally, and I'm not trying to be a dick, but they are not NBA players.
Right.
Like you're out there with two NBA players and three guys that shouldn't be getting more than 10 minutes a night. And this is what happens. And so one of the things that I do like, and you know, we'll end this soon because I can't believe we've gone 50 minutes talking about that game, but we're having a good time, so fuck it. One of the things I have seen is that guys are getting exposed for who they are, yeah. Right? And I think Tiff and Siobhan kind of touched on this earlier. You are going to get a real ass picture of who can play on this team when Jimmy comes back and when Hero comes back and Goran comes back. So now in a regular season, I would feel more comfortable with that. My only problem is when Jimmy comes back, is Bam going to be out on some COVID protocol bullshit? Like that's the one, the season is just very, very like unstable to me. Like, cause there's a domino effect that keeps going on and on. So I do like the fact that we are finding out, you know what, y'all were screaming for KZ so bad. You gave him 20 plus minutes tonight and he gave you nothing.
Yeah.
You know, you know, Kendrick Nunn gave you 17, but we just said he did it on 16 shots. That man he can play in spurts, but he's just not, he ain't that guy. You know what I'm saying? So I do think that guys are getting exposed, and I think it's a good thing long term. I don't know how good it is for this season because I just think with COVID, with protocols, with guys coming in and out the lineup, they just do, you know, the whole idea of we have enough. That does not apply to this season.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if you guys agree with that as far as Tiff.
We don't have enough.
We don't have enough.
It's kind of like we were saying earlier. At some point, it is what it is. This is the dress rehearsal for like eight players. This is like... Yeah. The dress rehearsal. Like, we see you. You're getting wide open shots. You're getting drives to the lane. You're getting all these things. And you're not taking advantage of it.
That's how you end up out the league real quick.
You either want to be here or you don't. And a lot of them, guess what? You can teach all kinds of things, but you can't teach want to and know how.
Yeah.
Max has tried his ass off.
Right. Today. He tried. He but guess what? What does it say? When people show you who they are, believe them. And they're showing us. No, they're showing us. They really are. You know what? I'm not too attached. So some of them can get out on the first train smoking.
Man,
I'm not too attached. I'm
less attached than I was last week.
Oh wow, that's a more striking statement.
No, I'm saying like I was more attached last week, and yes, I'm losing attachment.
It's okay to be honest. It's okay to be honest.
It's objective. Like,
listen, remember, even the Batman went home. Heroes rise and they fall. That's it.
They do.
Tiffany fucked them kids meats from Oedipus Rex. And honestly, that's a good. I want to throw it to Chris because Chris, you stay believing in the Parrish. He got quiet though.
He loved development.
I do.
We gonna do.
I think I stayed true to that tonight. That's why I was talking about Bam. You know, he played poorly, but
you want to talk about Bam. You want to talk about Bam.
And I started.
You want to talk about G-Leaguers, bro. Right. Like,
Talk about game.
I started my parents off by talking about Kendrick Nunn and how good Kendrick Nunn played. I also told you I had some little hoop dreams for Matt for Struss. You know what I'm saying? So I felt like, you know, I'm still talking the same stuff. Guys that didn't live up to it. I'm not talking about developing anybody. I'm talking about developing the guys who show you a spark And like you said about KZ and Paulo, that's what I've been kind of saying this whole time. Is like in these time periods right now with all this difficulty, you're looking for somebody to be like, hey, let me, who has a spark to him? And that's the part that's most disappointing. None looks like the guy who has the spark. And we've already critiqued his game from, you know, A to Z. But he's the one who looks like at least tonight, he looked like he had a spark to him. Everybody else just out there, Duncan Robinson was beige, you know, like no spark, like no life to him, no color, just a guy on the court. And we got way too many of them. So I'm not saying you develop all of these guys. What I'm hoping for, you got to let them play so that you know who you can develop is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Bam. That's who I'm developing.
And Jimmy. That's it. Only two people on the team that is, can stay here.
To me, that's the only two people I believe. And I get shit about this all the time. Like, people get mad at me because I'm ready to ship Tyler Hero ass out for Bradley Beal in a second if it comes to that. You know what I mean? And I never understand why people, I think people get too beholden to their own guys. If Washington comes to you and says they want Akpala, Nunn, Hero, Robinson, and a first rounder, two first rounders, four first rounders, bye. Go ahead, because the best you will ever get from Tyler Hero is Bradley Beal on some nights.
Yeah.
Especially if he ain't got to handle the ball.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you did give away like seven players, but I mean, I'm with you in theory.
I give all these motherfuckers away. You did. Exactly. If I had to start UD, I'll start UD during some COVID protocol shit.
What'd you say, Tiffy? If for nothing else, get some fresh energy. You got to restart. It's stale. It's stagnant. Yeah. It's not a fun product to see. The ideal situation or the ideal scenario wouldn't be, you know, ship out nine people for right. Beal. But like
it's Savon, we can suit up. They gonna get Beal. We can sit there and do this.
What's up?
They just need people to do this platform. Apparently.
Great. I think me and Chris could box out though.
Exactly. This is right here. We on Jimmy's timeline.
And the organization, and they went as far as to admit, so they said that they felt like a sense of like beholdenness to get Jimmy one, and that has to be implying soon. And so at this point, you letting Jimmy down, letting Bam down.
That's why forcing I thought they should have made a move this past offseason. That's why I thought they should have made a move this past offseason. Because, I mean, Jimmy, what, about to turn 32? Like, he only got so many good peak years left. So, Trade the house, man. Get who we can get.
What I would say is, honestly, I'm not mad because right now I haven't seen the right deal. Like, I haven't seen somebody go somewhere that the Heat should have made a move for. Like, I like the whole idea of maybe PJ Tucker, Victor Oladipo. I think that fixes a ton of fucking problems right off grip right there. As long as Jimmy and Bam are here and you do something with that package, like to me,
right.
Like I'm all in. You know what I'm saying? Hero, see you in Houston, baby. I'd love to keep Hero or Duncan in that kind of deal. Actually, with the amount you got to pay Duncan, I'd rather see him go because Tyler Hero is going to be cheap for a few more years. But yeah, like that, the whole the Victor PJ deal. Like I look at that one, I'm like, damn. Like if you can get that going, but I haven't seen a deal happen in the NBA yet where I'm like, damn, the Heat missed out. Like I know, like you got Heat fans out here pissed about Kevin Porter Jr. for a second rounder.
I don't even know who that is.
Kevin Porter Jr.
I asked who was KPJ in the chat. Y'all were throwing out all these acronyms. I'm like, who is
Kevin? I didn't even know who that was.
Is it Kevin Porter? Did I just make him Michael Porter Jr.'s brother?
No.
Listen.
I
don't give a damn who it was. I didn't know who he was, which means he didn't belong here.
Yeah. And then I looked him up.
That's
the standard.
No. But and the thing is, yeah, if Harden would have got here, fine. But I wasn't peak Harden either. But yeah, I'm with that Vic. I'm with that Vic and PJ move.
I love the Harden idea in a regular normal season because it gets you a chip this season, I think. Like Harden on this team gets you a chip this season in a regular season. But in this weird ass COVID season, that might be a punt in the first place, because who knows who's gonna be healthy? Like I've said, it's whatever team gets the vaccine first is winning the title. like you know, yeah, you know they're getting it first. But like this season might just be a punt. And so now you be paying James Harden for this season, losing out on this season, and now you got an older James Harden, an older Jimmy going to the next. I didn't like it. I'm glad they didn't make that pull that kind of trigger. But any, you know, some of these younger guys like Beal and Victor Oladipo, I'm with it. You know what I mean? Because it's not just a move for this year; it's a move for the next 2-3 years, and you know, finishing out Jimmy's prime with some real weapons around him, not motherfucking Max Strus. You know Jimmy on there Jimmy out here looking at Max Strus like, oh, I'm gonna kill you, motherfucker.
You about to play everybody in practice tomorrow, 10-on-1.
He's about to win by 30. All right, Joe. I think that's enough commentary because we got to run this back tomorrow night. Oh my god! And honestly, we might be playing a Clippers team. I'm sorry.
Oh, wait, Shimon. It's a game tomorrow?
Yeah, we got the Clippers tomorrow. This is a setup.
Tiffy's like, glad I just drank beer tonight. Yeah, we got to run this back tomorrow against a team that might not have Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. So get excited for that. At least it might be a win or a close game. Who knows? But, you know, like I said, this is a stupid fucking season. But thank y'all for hanging out with us, man. Like I like to say, this show is about having fun, win or lose. Interesting game or not interesting game, we're going to have a good time on this show. So you guys check out Light Skin Opinions, LSO Podcast on YouTube. Subscribe. We're putting out a show every week. We'll be doing an LSO Sports every week. Weeks like this where there's too many damn Heat games, we're just going to take over hangover time one night. Because, listen, I can't do 8 live streams a week. You know what I'm saying? I'm Jimmy hanging over the barrier at the end of the game right now. But, yeah, so check us out, LSO, Light Skin Opinions, on YouTube. Check out the podcast on Spotify. Subscribe. So we will see you guys tomorrow night for the regular hangover time. And then we'll be back again on Saturday. And Chris Cody is actually going to be back. And we're going to be playing the drip drop drinking game with Chris Cody. He texted me, he said, I want to come get fucked up with y'all. I was like, bet. So Chris Cody will be back Saturday. Miami Heat Beat says, plug the pod. Subscribe to the Miami Heat Beat podcast. Like everybody's watching this shit. Don't subscribe to the Miami Heat Beat podcast. Subscribe to the podcast. Check us out. Check us out on Twitch, YouTube, everywhere. We will see you guys later. Good night.
Night.
Peace.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.